The Gospel for the third Sunday of Advent from Luke chapter 3. John said to the crowds that came out to be baptized by him, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our ancestor,' for I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is lying at the root of the trees. Every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire." And the crowds asked him, "What then should we do?" In reply, he said to them, "Whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise." Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, "Teacher, what should we do?" He said to them, "Collect no more than the amount prescribed for you." Soldiers also asked him, "And we, what should we do?" And he said to them, "Do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages." As the people were filled with expectation and all were questioning in their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, "I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand to clear his threshing floor and to gather the wheat into his granary, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire." So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. And let us add these words from the Gospel of John. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it." The Gospel of Jesus Christ. Please be seated. There is a collect printed in your bulletins following the scripture lesson. Let's pray together. In returning to me and waiting for me, you shall be saved. In quietness and confidence is your strength. But we would trust ourselves and stand in our own strength, and we shall be ashamed upon that day. But the Lord still waits for you to show you his love, as he has said. And he will conquer you so that he may bless you with himself. Blessed are they who wait upon the Lord, for they shall weep no more, neither be afraid. Amen. I was thinking as we were praying how good it was to hear my little granddaughter's voices on Friday. Today is Joy Sunday, and the sermon was to be about making room for God's joy in our lives under relatively normal circumstances. It was a perfectly good sermon, made perfectly irrelevant by the events of Friday. Verse from Edna St. Vincent Millay. "Down, down, down into the darkness of the grave. Gently they go, the beautiful, the tender, the kind. Quietly they go, the intelligent, the witty, the brave. I know, but I do not approve, and I am not resigned." When we experience tragedy, our consciousness is altered. Everything seems different, changed. We may experience an acute sense of God's presence. He may seem with us as never before. We may experience God's absence. "My God, why have you forsaken me? Our confidence is shaken. We are robbed of hope. We wonder what is coming next. We ask, what can we do? How can life ever make sense again? Here are some wise words from Brother Alois of the Taizé Christian Community. And I want to read these to you because I think they're important. He wrote this after the killings in Norway a few months ago. When faced with incomprehensible suffering of the innocent, we are often bewildered. And the question, the cry running through human history touches the hearts of us all. But where is God? As Christians, we have no ready-made answer to this serious question. Christ himself, the one sent from God, did not give an explanation, but he shared this question with us to the last breath of his life on earth. Jesus told us clearly that God does not want suffering. During his passion on the cross, he refused fatalism and passivity. He loved to the very end, and despite the absurd and incomprehensible character of suffering, he kept on trusting that God is greater than evil and death would never have the last word. I think that we can and must follow Christ in this. The answer to the question of suffering is not an idea or a theory. It is by our lives that we can answer. Our answer in the steps of Christ can only be to love more those entrusted to us. To be alongside those in sorrow, simply to go towards them, even if we do not know in advance what to say or to do. Expressing heartfelt compassion can bring relief. Going toward them with Christ's confident trust that God is there alongside those who suffer. As the terrible details of the event on Friday were revealed, and newscasters and pundits and TV psychologists expressed observations from the banal to the almost astute, the truest words I heard spoken came from a rabbi who was with the grieving families. He was asked, "How do you comfort them?" And he paused, and in a trembling voice he said, "You are with them. You hold them. You cry with them." The rabbi understands what we mean when we say we have to be Christ to one another. Today is Joy Sunday, and we're probably not feeling terribly joyful, maybe after this sermon particularly. Late Christian writer, Madeleine Lingle, wonderful person, once said that the difference between mere happiness and joy is joy comes as we pass through sorrow, as God leads us through sorrow to a better place. She reminds us, too, that the light shines in the darkness and that the darkness has not overcome it. Her poem, First Coming. He did not wait till the world was ready, till men and nations were at peace. He came when the heavens were unsteady and prisoners cried out for release. He did not wait for the perfect time. He came when the need was deep and great. He dined with sinners in all their grime, turned water into wine. He did not wait till hearts were pure. In joy he came to a tarnished world of sin and doubt. To a world like ours of anguished shame he came, and his light would not go out. He came to a world which did not mesh, to heal its tangles, shield its scorn. In the mystery of the Word made flesh, the Maker of the stars was born. We cannot wait till the world is sane to raise our songs with joyful voice. For to share our grief, to touch our pain, he came with love. Rejoice, rejoice. Let us pray. O Lord, you are the light of the world. We acknowledge that there is much darkness, but we have faith and we have one another. So we pray together, O Lord, come soon. Amen.